Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. My dear friends in Christ, many of you have heard the name Charlie Chaplin. He was famous during the silent movie age, in the 20s and 30s, I imagine, and he was known as his character of being the tramp, with the little cane, his little hat, the mustache, and the goofy socks. In fact, he was such a beloved person and a character in the movies that they had many Charlie Chaplin look-alike contests. In fact, Bob Hope entered one in Cleveland, and he won. Charlie Chaplin entered one in a San Francisco theater, and he didn't even make the finals. Sometimes people don't recognize a real thing when it's right before their eyes. Which brings us to the epistle lesson for this morning, our first reading this morning. It dealt with heaven. The second reading now deals with you being called the children of God. And he responds, and so you are, as if you don't believe it, this is who you really are. You are the children of God. Now, I know there's some people that know you would say, there ain't a chance that that person is a child of God. By the things they say, they do, and the way they behave, there's no way. And there's sometimes, even in your own life, you think that. You think to yourself, I know this is what 1 John says, but the reality, in my heart, I don't believe it because I've really messed up in my life. Pastor, I wrestle with sin, and quite honestly, I'm not the person of God that I want to be, and so therefore, it's very highly unlikely that I am a child of God like you say, and Scripture reports that I am. Now, if you're in that place this morning, if you're feeling as if there's really no possibility or other people don't see that in me, I want to remind you what Scripture says and define you exactly who you are so that you may know who you are as a child of God. 1 John begins to see what kind of love the Father has given. Given is always, it's a gift. And the verb there is passive. It's something that God has given unto you, not earned or deserved, but it's a gift of God. And I like a better translation, the love the Father has lavished upon us because He gives us to its overflowing over everything. But look at how love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Then he goes on, and the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, you are more than just flesh and blood. You are more than simply a mortal walking on the earth. You are, by definition of Scripture, through faith in Jesus Christ, a child of God. And it really doesn't matter what other people automatically think of you, whether they know your past and things you've done and say no way they could be a part of the God's family and be a child of God. It doesn't matter because your Heavenly Father sees in you His son or daughter. He sees in you the blood of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sins, and He calls you His child. Now, people may not recognize this. Other people may not even appreciate it. But that is who you are, through faith in Jesus Christ. Appreciate the fact that you are a child of God, dearly, dearly loved by Him. If you want to overcome sin in your life, just know who you are. You are a child of God. Now I'm going to tell you a true story. It's about a guy by the name of Thomas van der Woude. I think that's right. He had a wife by the name of Mary Ellen, and they had 6 kids. They were already in their 40s, and she was pregnant with their 7th child, and there's all kinds of complications with the later pregnancy, and one of them, a child could be born with Down syndrome, and this particular son was, his name was Josie. He was born with Down syndrome, and his older brother said this of his younger brother. He says, it doesn't matter that Josie was born with Down syndrome. He was my father's son, and that was all the reason my father needed to love him. Well, the father demonstrated that love for his son in 2008. Thomas, the father, and Josie, their son, were out in the backyard playing, and Josie slipped and fell into an old 8-foot broken septic tank. It's about 8 foot deep, and it was full of human excrement. Very dangerous, and the father did his best to dangle his arm on and grab a hold of his son, but to no relief. And the son began to bob and bob to the point where he began to sink under the water. And so the father let himself down into this human waste and discovered that it was 8 foot deep and that he couldn't touch the bottom. And so he made the decision to submerge himself, placing his son upon his shoulder so that he could live. When the rescue crew finally arrived, Thomas, the father, was dead. But Josie was still alive. And by the love of the Father, the son had been saved. Now, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, isn't that a great picture of God's love for you? God literally descended his own son into the excrement of human sin. There we are, dead in our sins and trespasses, and Christ accompanying us there, and he is the one who lifts us up by means of the cross. He lifts you up out of that septic pool of sin, and he makes you his own child. Believing that fact alone makes all the difference on how you and I live our lives out as God's very own children. You know, it's been a few years ago, but the U.S. government changed their certificate for naturalization. So those people that are born elsewhere that want to become American citizens go through the process, and when they're naturalized as American citizens, they have a certificate that's given to them. Now, if you Google it online, it's not very fancy. There's a picture of the new citizen and their name, and then along the side there are some words about how they're supposed to behave and being a part of the United States of America. They're agreeing to this, and their signature's found there. It's kind of cool, and for someone who wants to become a citizen here, it's a big deal. But it really made me think, what would a certificate of naturalization into the kingdom of God look like? What would be on it? For once, there would be you, your picture, your name, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then below that, there would be, perhaps we could look at Matthew 5, the gospel lesson for the day. And this would really describe who we are as children of God. Now, it would come across as you are poor in spirit. It was defined to me as being spiritually bankrupt. I can't save myself. I am poor in spirit. I need God's grace and mercy. And then it goes on that you are mourning, that you are meek, you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you are merciful, you are pure in heart, you are a peacemaker, and then that last one we're not too fond of, you are persecuted. If you want to know what a Kingdom of God member looks like, that's it. Now, there are some of those things that are more attractive than others. We like the fact that God's going to give us the meat, that we're going to inherit the earth and all those different things. But the reality is, when we start talking about mourning, we start talking about the fact that we're going to be persecuted for the sake of the gospel, those are some attributes that at times we don't really want to identify with. But when you are reclaimed by Jesus Christ and his blood through the water of your baptism, you have a new outlook on life. Your attitudes are different. Your characteristics are different. Your values change and your longing for life changes. You become a new creation. All these attributes depicted in St. Matthew chapter 5 reflect that desire for the kingdom of God. But mind you, contrary to popular belief, it's not a checklist you go through to say, if I just mark them all off and then I'm into the kingdom of God. This is just a state of fact. This is who you are as God's people today. Now, John reminds us that we are God's children now. I love that. Three letters, so much comfort. You are God's children now. It's not something that you're becoming, you might be in the future, or you hope for. It's who you are today. And then he continues, and we will be, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he, Jesus, appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him like he is. When you know who you are, when you know who you are and what you are becoming, it makes all the difference in your life, not only today, but how you live it going forward. It literally changes everything when you understand exactly what Christ has done for you and then how I live that life out in the world with those around me. Now, I'm not very good with Irish names, but a woman by the name of Joyce, we're going to call it Danahoe, she's from Louisville, Kentucky. And she had traveled to Ukraine to do an adoption service and was looking for a child. And there in that orphanage, she found a 2-year-old girl by the name of Kristen. She was transfixed by her beautiful blue eyes, but her face was swollen with the tumor that was just under the skin, and to almost the point where she was grotesque to look at. But she said, I couldn't look away. She said, Catherine's eyes were so alert that I just kept watching her, Joyce recalls. There was something special that tumor could not hide. I could have taken any of the children I saw home with me. At the same time, I knew if I adopted Kristen, she'd have more than a new start. She'd have a new life. Joyce Stansberry, who does the adoption, says, you know, there are many children in the orphanages in the Ukraine. And through the years, she has worked to have hundreds of them adopted out to people in America. But she says, Ukrainians have a fear of children that are born with any kind of disability. And so when that disability is identified, the mothers will either take them to an orphanage or take them to a public place, and they'll simply walk away, never to look back again. But Joyce chose young Christine and took her home and adopted her as her very own daughter. 2 years later, in November of 2004, a Louisville surgeon removed the tumor from her face. And as those scars began to heal, everything about Kristen's life began to change dramatically. In fact, she's often heard saying to her mother, I love you, I love you, I love you, over and over and over again. You know, that's what it was like when your Heavenly Father found you. Because in reality, because of sin, you also were deformed. And when everyone else would not have anything to do with you, God loved you. He saw in you true beauty because he knew what he was doing with you through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And his son, Jesus, came and removed that guilt of sin and took it to the cross of Calvary. And there he suffered and died that you may have a new life, a life that's transformed, no longer being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are a child of God, and that has changed everything about you. Today, as we gather in this place, we're reminded of the saints that have gone before us. And I got to tell you, every time I read the Revelation passage, Laura, I think of your mom. I was literally reading that passage when her mother passed away. Reading what heaven's like, and she just left us and joined them. And we think of all those that have gone before. Each of them a child of God through faith in Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, washed and made pure. We have that hope, that assurance of eternal life through faith in Jesus, that we will see them again. No longer with mourning and tears and sorrow and all that stuff, because the Master has washed all that away, but as new creations in a glorified body, and what a joyous day that's going to be. You know, today is not about sorrow. Today is about joy and remembering those that have gone before, and joy in knowing that we are truly loved, even today. And we have the promise of eternal life. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.